You got it. More with Don and Mike.
Thanks an Elvis buttload for listening.
Here comes
on great radio stations like 105.5 WNSP FM, Mobile, Darwin's Waiting Room, Alabama, WCMB, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and KQAM, Wichita, Kansas. Well, folks, this is it. It's our last official live show of 1993. We're kicking back for some holiday time.
Yes, we are.
Starting on tomorrow's show, you'll be hearing best of tapes all the way through, I think, January 3rd, which is the day we will all be back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I got to get everybody in the studio. Hold on.
Everyone?
Let me get on the page system. Attention Infinity Broadcasting employees. Sherry, what is it you say when you want all the actors to report to the stage?
Places, everyone.
Places, everyone. Now, everybody has a role in this. Billy, Rabe, Cannon, Bob the Intern, Diana, Buzz Burbank, Sherry, Mike, Diana, myself, and even Bart has a role in this. It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, as we've explained many times, the movie used to be on like 10 times a day, every day from Thanksgiving until Christmas.
That's right.
Now, because Ted Turner, God bless Ted Turner, because he bought the movie, he only shows it on his cable TV stations.
Right.
Which means that you can't see the movie as many times you did in the past. So we've got the actual script to the movie.
Brought to you as a public service.
And under the direction of Rob Spiewak.
He's our Frank Capra.
We are going to be Rob A. Capra. We're going to be presenting it for you now. Now, Rob A., what do we need to know from you, the director, before we start this radio play?
Three words, suspension of disbelief. No, it's just, it was weirdish because it's a very visual movie, and I never realized it until I started to try and edit it together. But I think most people are fairly familiar with the film.
Yeah.
So if you just kind of work with us on this.
Work with us, people.
Now, how much of this have you edited out? Is there roughly still half the movie in here?
I don't think I left out any key things, but
yeah,
like
that's pretty obvious from the two volumes that we're looking at here.
Well, you know, there's like all the, of course, you know, the action sequences we had to leave out, but the key dialogue, the best parts of the arguments,
right.
When you yell at Uncle Billy, and when Mr. Potter gets really mad, all that stuff is left in. Everyone's favorite parts.
Good.
All right, great. Well, then let's begin.
Dad, hey, I'm not ready yet.
What? Hold on a second. What are you doing?
I need to go into part two.
What?
I need to go into part two.
Yeah, you're not even until the second act. So you can. What are you doing? You playing basketball with Tammy?
Yeah.
Okay, you can go on back there. You being
okay,
a good boy?
Will you tell me when it's my turn? Because I don't have a line until way past.
Right. You got it. Okay,
could
give
you
me a kiss.
Me could you
got a kiss
me?
For me? I will call you when it's time for your lines, okay? All right, bye-bye. All right, there we go. Now, is everybody else in place? Are we all ready?
Yep.
All right, then what I do is I hit the opening music.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba's.
Once upon a time, in the dear, dark past, there was a small town called Bedford Falls. A quiet, peaceful town, full of warmth, charm, and brotherly love. It is Christmas Eve, 1945. And while most of the town is full of holiday cheer, one of Bedford Falls' favorite sons is troubled. He is being observed by his guardian angels.
Hello, Joseph. Trouble? Looks like we're going to have to send someone down. A lot of people are asking for help for a man named George Bailey.
Guys, hold on. Time out. You got to give a little more than that.
Acting.
yeah, please. I mean, I don't want the usual monosyllabic reading
right.
of this.
That's right. That's okay. You know, Don, you got it out of the way at the beginning, and I think that's important for everybody. Everybody, this is acting!
Come on, get into your roles. Sherry, you're on stage all the time. Give these other less talented thespians some advice. Of course, Mike and I have done many television commercials before, so we are...
We know, we worked with monkeys.
Listen to this. Watch this. Remember that thing we did $25,000 in the count of three? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. One, two, three.
$25,000!
There you go.
Yeah, see, we're pros. We're slick pros. Right. So what advice would you give everyone, Sherry?
Well, you see, Don and Mike were motivated at that point. I think that's what you two may lack. So what you want to do is find your motivation, go with it, and let's not read the words. Let's be the words, okay? Thanks, gentlemen.
All righty.
Now, all right,
now, Buzz, will you give us just the last few lines of your intro again to set this up?
Yes, I will. It's Christmas Eve, 1945, and while most of the town is full of holiday cheer, one of Bedford Falls' favorite sons is troubled. He's being observed by his guardian angels.
Hello, Joseph. Trouble?
It looks like we're going to have to send someone down. A lot of people are asking for help for a man named George Bailey.
George Bailey?
Yes, tonight's his crucial night. You're right. We'll have to send someone down immediately. Whose turn is it?
Well, that's why I came to see you. It's that clockmaker's turn again.
Oh, Clarence. Hasn't got his wings yet, has he? We've passed him up right along.
Yes, because you know, sir, he's got the IQ of a rabbit.
Yes, but he's got the faith of a child. Simple. Joseph, send for Clarence.
We've made it through the first page of dialogue, everybody.
Yeah. You'll send for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs your help.
Splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. His life. Then I've only got an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting for over 200 years now, sir, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book you've got there?
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Clarence, you do a good job with George Bailey, and you'll get your wings.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Poor George. Sit down.
Sit down? What are...
If you're going to help a man, you want to know something about him, don't you?
Well, naturally, of course.
Well, keep your eyes open. See the town?
Why, yes. This is amazing.
Well, now, Rabe, then it says, close shot. Group of boys. They are preparing to slide downhill on large shovels. Were we not going to even mention that?
I think I say it when I say,
hey, who's that playing in the snow?
Oh, sorry, my mistake.
No problem. That's your problem, George Bailey.
A boy.
That's him when he was 12, back in 1919. Something happens here that you'll have to remember later on. George's brother fell into a frozen lake. George saved his brother's life that day, but he caught a bad cold, which infected his left ear. Cost him his hearing in that ear. It was weeks before he could return to his after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore.
Who's that? A king?
Hold on, I had a line there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, it's Mr. Potter.
Who's that, a king?
That's Henry F. Potter, the richest and meanest man in the county.
So long.
Go to work, Slade! Hee-haw! Hee-haw!
And so George Bailey, age 12, goes into work at Gower's drugstore.
Hey, it's me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
There at the drugstore are two customers for George to wait on. Both are young ladies, the sweetheart Mary and the town slut, Violet Bick.
Hello, George.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Violet.
2 cents worth of shoelaces?
Oh, she was here first.
I'm still thinking.
Shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. Oh, sorry, that's okay. Oh, I say this to you. I like him.
You like every boy.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Have you girls made up your mind yet?
I'll take chocolate.
Okay. With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here. From Tahiti, the Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea. I'm out exploring someday. You watch. I'm going to have a couple of harems. They're going to teabag me all the time. I'll have maybe 3 or 4 wives. You just wait and see. I'm going to turn back to the cash register now and do some whistling.
George! George!
Yes, sir.
You're not paying the bitch, Mary!
No, sir.
As George turns to the cash register, he notices an open telegram. As he picks it up, he notices what it says. Mr. Gower, we regret to inform you of the death of your son. We await instructions from you. Sincerely. George turns to console Mr. Gower.
Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
No.
George notices that in Mr. Gower's drunken stupor, he has filled the capsules with poison.
Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine. She's waiting for them.
Yes, sir. They have the diphtheria there, haven't they, sir? Is it a charge, sir?
Yes, charge.
Mr. Gower, I think...
I get going!
Yes, sir.
George notices that in Mr. Gower's drunken stupor, he's filled the capsules with poison, and of course, we've heard that before. But on the way to the delivery site, George stops by the Bailey Building and Loan to ask for his father's advice. But his dad is busy arguing with Mr. Potter, the richest, meanest man in town.
I'm not crying, Mr. Potter.
Well, you're begging, and that's a whole lot worse.
All I'm asking is 30 days more. Pop! Just a minute, son.
Hold on, let's stop the play for just one moment to point out that at this point, I am Billy Reed's son.
All right, Billy, that's your line.
Just 30 short days. I'll dig up that $5,000 somehow.
Shove me up. Shove me up. Shove me up, baby.
Pop!
Have you put any real pressure on those people of yours to pay those mortgages?
Times are bad, Mr. Potter. A lot of these people are out of work.
Then foreclose.
I can't do that. These families have children.
They're not my children.
Pop!
They're not my children, Billy Reed, you illiterate. They're not my children.
But they're somebody's children, Mr. Potter.
Are you running a business or a charity war?
Well, all right.
Not with my money.
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-skulled bastard? You have no family, no children. You can't begin to spend all the money you've got.
So, I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot retarded brother of yours to spend for me.
Hey, old man, he's not a failure. You can't say that about my father.
George, George!
You're not! Daddy, you're the biggest man in town.
Run along.
You're bigger than him.
Run along.
You're bigger than everybody, Daddy.
I'm horny. All right, where are we?
We now skip ahead. Skip ahead, everybody, to find a 21-year-old George Bailey.
No. We've gone back to the drugstore.
All right, so that's you, George.
Number seven.
No, that's Mr. Gower. All right, then it's you, Rob, eh?
I know. There was a...
So, George...
Why, that medicine should have been there an hour ago. It'll be there in 5 minutes, Mrs. Blaine. Where's Mrs. Blaine's box of capsules?
Capsules?
Did you hear what I said?
Well, yes, sir. I did.
What kind of sense are you playing?
Ow!
Well, you don't ever have any.
Ow!
Don't you know I'm very sick?
Ow! Ow! You're hurting my sore ear, you old man.
You lazy loafer!
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something wrong in those capsules. I know you're unhappy. You got that telegram and you're upset. You put something bad in those capsules. It wasn't your old fault, old man. Just look and see what you did. Look at the bottle. You took the powder from. It's poison. I tell you, it's poison. I know you feel bad. Just don't hit me anymore.
Oh, no, no, no.
Don't hurt my ear again.
Oh, George, George.
Mr. Gower, I won't ever tell anyone. I know what you're feeling. I won't tell a soul. Hope to die, I won't.
Oh, George.
Now we skip ahead to find a 21-year-old George Bailey. He's geared up to go to college and very excited and sitting down to eat with his family.
Boy, oh, boy. My last meal at the old Bailey boarding house. I can't wait to get out of here and get a piece of ass.
Oh, my lands, my blood pressure.
Oh, you know what?
What?
Oh, never mind. Pop, can I have the car? I'm going to take a lot of plates and things.
What plates? Put those things in the car and I'll get your tie and studs together.
Okay, Mom. You coming later? You coming later, George?
What do you mean? And be bored to death?
Couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls, and we're going to use that new floor of yours tonight, too.
I hope it works.
No gin tonight, son.
Oh, Pop, just a little?
No, son. Not one drop.
Boys and girls and music. Why do they need gin?
Father. Did I act like that when I graduated from high school?
Pretty much. You know, George, wish we could send Harry to college with you. Your mother and I talked it over half the night.
See, we have that all figured out. You see, Harry will take my job at the building and loan, and he'll work there for 4 years, and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
Well, Billy, I mean, Daddy, he's no younger than I was.
Maybe you were born older, George.
How's that?
Oh, Mom, I'm chairman of the Eats Committee, and we only need a couple of dozen.
Oh, no, you don't. Harry, now, not my best Haviland.
Oh, let him have the plates, Mother.
Billy. Come on, Billy, move it, move it.
Hope you have a good trip, George. Uncle Billy and I are going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you, too, Pop. Hey, what's the matter? You look tired.
Oh, I had another fight with Mr. Potter today.
Mm. Oh, that old fart.
I thought when we put him on the deathbed, he'd ease up on us a little bit.
He's on the board of directors, Billy. Please, only Mike and I are allowed to ad-lib. You please just stick to the script.
I'm horny.
I wonder what's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard anyway.
Oh, he's a sick man, frustrated and sick. Sick in his mind, sick in his soul, if he has one. Hates everybody that has anything that he can't have. Hates us mostly, I guess.
So long, Pop!
So long, son. I say, maybe you were born older. I suppose you've decided what you're going to do when you get out of college.
Oh, you know what I've always talked about. Build things, design new buildings, plan modern cities. All that stuff I was talking about.
Still after that first million before 30?
No, I'll sell it for half that in cash.
Of course, it's just a hope. But you wouldn't consider coming back to the building and loan, would you?
Well, I
know it's soon to talk about it.
Oh, Pop, I couldn't. I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. It smells like urine down at the building and loan, Dan. Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that remark. But this business of nickels and dimes and spending your life trying to figure out how to save 3 cents on a length of pipe, I'd go crazy. I want to do something big and important.
You know, George, I feel that in a small way, we are doing something important, satisfying a fundamental urge. It's deep in a race for a man to want his own roof and walls and a fireplace, and we're helping get him those things in our shabby little office.
I know, Dad. I wish I felt... But I've been hoarding pennies like Alan Goodman in order to... Well, most of my friends have already finished college. I just don't feel like... I feel like if I don't get away, I'll just bust.
Yes. Yes. You're right, son.
You see what I mean. Don't you, Pop Billy?
This town is no place for any man unless he's willing to crawl to Potter.
I'm horny.
You've got talent, son. I haven't seen it. You get yourself an education, then get out of here.
Pop, you want a shock? I think you're a great guy. Hey, Pop, I think I'll get dressed and go over to Harry's party.
Have a good time, son.
And so...
That ends the first act. We've got to break for commercials here. Well, we've made it through 15 minutes and we haven't bagged the idea yet.
That's right. We're still hanging in there. We're hanging with it.
For those of you wondering how long this will go on, we're up to page 144 and... The movie has 322 pages. Yeah. So we're making good time, and for those of you that have seen the movie, perhaps in some weird, abstract, bizarro world way, we are playing the roles.
It's a Wonderful Life, the twisted version.
And we've got more of it. Come out tonight. Why don't you come out tonight? Right after this.